بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه: يا غلام أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، واعلم أن الدنيا لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك لن ينفعوك إلا بما كتب الله لك، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك لن يضروك إلا بما كتب الله عليك، رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected friends and listeners, every single problem that mankind faces till the end of Qiyamah has been addressed in the Quran Kareem. It is up to the believer and the person who says, I belong to the scripture and I belong to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to find the solution to their problem in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as explained in a practical sense by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran Kareem is not only a book of stories, neither is it a book of anecdotes and incidents, and neither is it a book of ahkam alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only included 500 to 550 direct laws that are extracted directly from the book of Allah. The rest is from the community of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as they lived and as they interacted, a situation came up, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum addressed it, and that became our secondary and our tertiary law, which we still inculcate up to today. But what we fail to understand is that even in modern day issues that we have, for example, how much sense and how much attention should we afford an ism like the media is also spoken about in the Quran Kareem. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to address the media of his day twice. One was in a personal capacity and one was in a communal and a collective capacity. In Makkatul Mukarramah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam receives the first wahi and revelation, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq comes down upon him. And after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرِ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. That, O one who has himself wrapped up in your shrouds and your sheets, uncover those sheets, go out into the marketplace, go out into the world and inform the people and warn them that you have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to follow this correct way that I'm teaching you, otherwise there is destruction for you. And that is when he ascends that Mount Safa. Now what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is doing right now, he is utilizing and using the media of his day. The media of his day may not have been print, it may not have been technological, it may not have been digital. But the media of his day was as effective as it was today, the spoken word. The spoken word uttered by a person who the people had confidence in was the media of the day, to a point that how a newspaper article flashed, that you are driving on a highway and you see a newspaper article that grabs your attention. The spoken word, especially if the spoken word belonged to a person who they knew, had the very same impact. So that's why when he stood on that Mount Safa and he addressed them utilizing the media of their day, they listened to him. The initial reaction of his qawm, of his people, was to ignore him. He was not the first person, by the way, who came and told them, believe in one Allah, do this, what you all are doing is wrong. There were people before him known as the Muwahideen. That every few years there would be a Qurayshi person who would come to his people, and one of those very same people, Zayd ibn Abdi Rabbi, used to come to his people and used to tell him, he lived well before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to come to the Quraysh in their gathering. And at that time, people like Abdul Muttalib, Rasulullah's grandfather, Abu Talib, the uncle, they were young at this time. He would come to those gatherings of the Quraysh and he would tell them, they tell me, who gives the rain? And they would respond, Allah gives the rain. Who gives the grass? Allah Ta'ala gives the grass. Who makes the milk white? Allah Ta'ala makes the milk white. He's not a prophet of Allah. He's living before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he would tell them that, isn't it astonishing that you are telling me Allah Ta'ala is giving all these things, but yet you still have your Lat, your Uzza, and your 300 odd idols inside the Kaabatullah. What's wrong with you people? And he would go away and remind them the next day. These were known as individuals rightly guided whom Allah Ta'ala gave them and placed them in their community so that the community should never ever stand up on the Yawmul Qiyamah that we never heard the message. Allah Ta'ala says that the man who came to you may not have been a prophet of Allah, but he did tell you the haq. Why didn't you listen to him? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for the first year or two, that he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that wahi came to him and he's communicating that wahi to the people, they ignored him. And they said, you know what, he'll get over it. Like how we dealt with all the other muwahideen before him. Like how we dealt with those people who addressed us in a similar fashion. He maybe is going through a phase. Maybe he'll die soon or maybe he'll disappear. Let's act like we never hear. And this continues. And finally, they come to a conclusion that no man, he's not going to stop. And the Quran that is being revealed upon him, and the Quran that he is now teaching the people, this is never something that the previous people brought. That they just had the message, believe in Allah who is one. They were not prophets, so they never received that wahi. He is receiving such a message, and his message is of such a great impact, that he recites it inside a qawm, he recites it inside a community, and they are driven to tears. That this is the message that makes him unique from all the people that came before him. We have to oppose him. But remember, the only time that they opposed him, and the only time that they called him a majnoon, an insane person, you're a magician, you are like this, was when they were unable to defeat his message. When they were unable to defeat the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they relied on the spoken word media that they had access to, when they realized that we can never physically or we can never ideologically defeat him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his kitab that you think that they are strong. In actual fact, their plan and whatever they have, كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ, is nothing like a spider that has made a web. And in the أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ, the weakest of all webs and networks will be the web of that spider. The second time that Rasulullah ﷺ had to deal with the media impact of his community of the Quraysh of Makkah, of the Kuffar, was when Islam was already established in Madinatul Munawwara. After the battle of Badr, Madinatul Munawwara became a capable state. They realized that you had a capable leader in the form of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and a community that was never going to give him up. Yes, there were one or two defeats or one or two tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on in the form of Uhud. But the crunch time came at the battle of Khandaq, wherein the Quraysh realized that we have to defeat him once and for all. So they invited a coalition. And this is the nature of the kuffar, that they are always cowardly to a point that they will never ever fight with you one to one. But in order to confront you, let's draw strength and a coalition from here. Let's draw an impact from here. Let's get help from here. And they will face you, one putting the other one in front. One putting the other one, you know, up for it. Never ever directly, because of the cowardly nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. And what did they do? They relied on the inner media that was inside Madinatul Munawwara, the Munafiqeen. The Munafiqeen would come to the Muslims, playing mind games with them, telling them that, oh people, you know, oh Muslims, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, that people, oh people, إِنَّ النَّاسَ, some people have come, and they have gathered to oppose you. قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. Who these people are, we don't know. But a big crowd is coming, playing on the fears, playing on the phobia of the people who they are addressing.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the response to the media of that time that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum gave was that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum full yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us and He is the best protector. That we cannot combat sound with sound. We cannot combat a digital with another digital. We cannot combat the power of the voice with another power of the voice. And if you can't, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best protector and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. It does not mean that a person must not attempt. When they were weaving their media wheel, Rasulullah ﷺ specifically had a mimbar built for Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. And whenever they would now construct an item of poetry deriding Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Rasulullah ﷺ would tell the poet of Medina, Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, to climb on that mimbar and to answer them. And regardless of whether they got the message or not, it would at the very least give himmah and courage to the Muslims. That this is what they are saying, but this is what our Hassan is saying. That they are saying you are insane. Hassan is saying that you are the best. They are saying that you are ugly, al-iyazu billah. But Hassan is saying that you are the most beautiful that any woman has ever given birth to. So that to assist the Muslims, not for them, they can carry on spinning their wheel how much they want to. But for the benefit of the believers, so that they retain their sense of mind, and they are not overwhelmed what other people are saying. Rasulullah ﷺ used to command the Hassan bin Thabit of Madinatul Munawwara to reply to them. My respected friends, in the culmination and the completion of the Book of Allah, we have got the best fortification. That when we hear a negative story being spun, the first resort to a believer is what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What are the promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the akhirah? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise for the muttaqeen and those that have got taqwa in this dunya? The kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just the greatest proponent of a believer, but it is the all important backstop of a believer, that if he feels himself sliding, resort to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For after all, inna min al bayani la sihra. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the speech of a person, the eloquence of a person can have the same effect as magic. The ulama tell us that there was an incident that transpired in Madinatul Munawwara. Two friends came along. One spoke of the other and the other one spoke of this one. In such a way that you didn't know whose story to actually believe. That they were counting on one another or they were chiding one another. No, my friend, he's like this and he eats too much and he's very lazy. And the other one starts in a more eloquent, poetic way about the laziness of his friend. Both of them were not serious. They were just playing, they were doing their musti amongst themselves. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu looking at these people now, who are these two friends and they carry on like this here? Rasulullah said, who do you believe? Say, we don't know who to believe. One seems as eloquent as the other. Rasulullah says, inna min al bayani la sihra, that the spoken word, and after all, even the written word, or the digital word, where does it come from? It comes from the spoken word. It comes from the intellect and the mind of a person where everything else came from. Rasulullah says, if you do not watch out, mina sihra, it will have the effect of magic, that how we can take you and make you believe what is wrong to be right and right to be wrong. You have to be careful for it. Every moment that we live, every second, every hour, we are getting closer to a time wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sayyati ala nasu zaman, and probably we are in that time already. Sayyati ala nas zaman, that such a time will come upon people. Yukadhibu sadiq, that the truthful person, no matter how honest and truthful and hardworking and how much he's into earning halal and staying away from haram, the community will falsify him and call him a liar. Wa yusaddiqul kadhib. And the liar will be so eloquent, and the liar will be so good in tainting his lies and covering up his lies and his footsteps, that you sadiq, people will end up believing him. And this will be one of the signs of Qiyamah that we will experience if we're not already experiencing already. It's going to come. For after all, in the hadith that I mentioned before, Rasulullah ﷺ tells Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, وَهُوَ رَدِيفُهُ, whilst he's riding behind him on the mule, that ya ghulam, that oh young boy, يُعَلِّمُكَ كَلِمَاتِ, I will teach you a few words. احفظ الله يحفظك. The first thing that I want you to do is protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the result will be يحفظك, Allah ta'ala will take care of you. Protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you will guarantee the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming your way. And then he tells him, wa'lam, know very well, if the entire dunya have to get together with their physical armaments, with their slander, they have to get together with the glibe of their tongue, they have to get together with whatever capacities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to harm you, they will never be able to harm you except with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And if they wish to get together to benefit you, they will never be able to benefit you except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you. And then he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجُفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, that the pens have now been lifted from the taqdeer and the destiny, not just of yourself, but the taqdeer and the destiny of all of mankind. The pens have been lifted and the pages and the scrolls that have been used to write the destiny of mankind has already been dried, folded and packed away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that destiny that has been written for mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promises that you will have communities. The most honored and revered person in that community, Luqayn ibn Luqayn, will be a person who is despicable, the son of somebody who is despicable, and the only reason why he is honored and revered is because of what is in his pocket, or what is because of the fear of what he's capable of doing. And the very fear of what he is capable of doing will drive the people to show superficial respect for him. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions that this is a sign of the last day. That you are feared not because you are honored and respected. You are feared not because of your tahara and your cleanliness. You are feared, or rather you are revered, not because of your honesty, but because of what you are able to do from a physical point of view, that you are able to topple nations. You are able to obliterate individuals and entire families. So people fear you for that. Rasulullah ﷺ says that this will be a sign of Qiyamah. Rasulullah ﷺ on one day calls the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, tells them, Sinfan min ahlin nar, that there are two people from the people of the fire. Lam arahuma, I did not as yet see them. That everybody else, traces of them exist even in Medina. The liars were there in the form of the munafiqeen. Other type of characters who would show traits and qualities that people before Qiyamah would show as well were already manifest at that time, not in a vast capacity like how they would be before Qiyamah, but signs of their existence were already there. But he says, two groups of people that I have not as yet seen, but you will definitely see them. And he mentions the first group. Group or leaders or dictators, qaidun, leaders, that will now herd people with lashes and with whoops. And the ulama say that that may not be a literal whoop, but that whoop may be their tongues. The whoop may be their policies. The whoop may be various other things that are in the shape of a physical whoop, but not a literal whoop that is used to gather people and make them fear them. That their love or their respect will not be because of their wisdom and their reverence. It will be because of the fear of their policies and their capacities. That group is still to come before Qiyamah, and we're probably already seeing it in our time already. And Rasulullah ﷺ says that another group that I've not seen, but you will see, Nisa'un kasiyatun ariyatun ma'ilatun mumilat, groups of women, kasiyatul ariyat, that they will be clothed, but the type of their clothing will be such that they will be naked at the same time. that it seems as if they do not have any clothes. It seems that the styles of choices or their choices of garment, it is as if they are walking unclothed because of the shape or because of the bare nature of the fabric itself. Ma'ilatun mumilat. The nature of them will be such is that they will incline towards men. That they will want to go and meet and greet and be right in the front. And their nature will be that they will be forward individuals. Mumilat, that they will now welcome advances towards them as if this is what they are living for. As if this is what validates them. That when inclinations are shown towards them, their psychotic mind tells them that you are now being validated. Shaitan fools them that you are now receiving validation from your community because they are inclining towards you. Rasulullah ﷺ says that they will come before Qiyamah and they will represent signs of Qiyamah. We are living inside such signs, and the very presence of the media age that we are in right now is reflective of that sign. It is time that a person realizes that it is no more something that a child is now playing with in their hand. Oh, it's a silly device and there's very little what they can do with it. It has the ability to, either do a lot of good. For after all, the tongue of a person, the media that Allah Ta'ala gave every individual, can drive even the hardest of hearts to tears. In 1987, when Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad Rahmatullah Alayh, when he visited America, he mentioned this incident, and that bayan is still recorded, or his speech is still recorded before he began. And he mentions in the 70s, when the USSR was at its height, the leaders at that time were coveting the Arab world. The only supporter they had in the Arab world was South Yemen. Before it used to be South Yemen and North Yemen. South Yemen communist and North Yemen was more democratic or rather socialistic. They were looking for Egypt. That was their king in the pack of their cards, because a populated country, you got a military, you've got a country that is predominantly Sunni, so your other Sunni-backed countries will not have a problem with it. And they were considered to be the heart of the Arabian, of the Arab population. So they coveted the leaders, gave them whatever they wanted to, that accept our ideology, our ism of life. And part of their ism was atheism as well. When Jamal Abdul Nasser, for whatever character he was in his personal life, when he visited that Kremlin and they invited him towards their doctrines of atheism, he says, the next time I'm coming, I'm going to bring a guest and come. Referring to Sheikh Abdul Basit Rahmatullah Alayh. A month later when he came, he told the Sheikh to accompany him just for 3 days to Moscow. The Sheikh said, I'm not a politician, what you want me there for? I'm not going to give a talk. All I want you to do is read. And the Shaykh, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in that bayan, he says that on that entire flight, I was thinking to myself, what am I going to read for them? Surah Fatiha, Qul A'udhu Birabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bin Nas, Surah Yasin. What I must read for them? And I thought to myself, the surah that softened the heart of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was Taha. When Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was the hardest of characters in his time, on his errand and on his way to al-iyadu billah assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was brought to his sister's house, and when he cooled down and he had his bath or whatever, and he looked at the manuscript pages of the Quran al-Kareem, what was it? Taha ma anzalna alayka al-Qur'ana litashqa. Taha, referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we did not reveal this kitab, this book upon you, so it may become a burden. He says, I read the first two rukus of the surah to them, and I opened my eyes. It was his nature to close his eyes when he used to recite. When he opened his eyes, I saw that every one of those characters were crying. Why? You can't understand the language. You don't even have the headphones on your head for a translation. The impact of the Quran al-Kareem, when the media of the individual is used in a positive way, and at the same time it can be used in a negative way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. We taught this insan the ability to be eloquent. That's his media. He will choose whether to use it in the good way, or whether to use it in the bad way. However, my respected friends, our time and our generation has a different challenge, a different element of the media, or a different capacity of the media. we need to learn about it. And alhamdulillah, this awareness is taking place. Every parent needs to understand what my child is doing at night. Every parent needs to understand the impact of the internet, the impact of a smartphone. Even though they may never ever master it, but they need to understand, control it, and at least govern their child in the sense that what are you doing? Can I also be part of that group? That okay, you've got these 3-4 legitimate friends. How about making me a friend as well? And befriend the child to such a point that wherein you can understand what they are doing. For you will never know what a person is up to in the darkest of dark rooms. Only they and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. In order for a parent to take responsibility. There are a number of workshops that are taking place in our city. At the very least, be participant of it if you're a father or a grandfather. It is something that has been motivated by our ulama in this time and this age so that people can understand what is available to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still leave Iblis and Shaitan on this world. He will still do his work. But it is the responsibility of the mu'mineen to stand as a hedge against the plan of Shaitan. Even if that plan of Shaitan is disguised and packaged in a suitable, halal, friendly way, it may not be that way. And it is up to the mu'mineen to become smart and to become clever. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu, that an intelligent person always prepares for the hereafter and always understands that my maqsad and my objective is the correct aspect of my deen, stays away from the incorrect aspect. My respected friends, just in brief conclusion, we know that this weekend is the KZN Ijtima from tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, concluding on Monday. My respected friends, brothers, of course this is only open to males above the age of 15. Make an intention not just to attend this Ijtima and come back home. Make this intention to stay in the Ijtima site. Benefit from the Noor, benefit from the Majma, benefit from the Majlis itself. It is a gathering of Zikr, a gathering of Hidayat, a gathering of people who are inshallah are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whoever goes there will be out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the very least, we will have an opportunity to get our Fajr Salah in a big Jamaat. All our Salah in a big Jamaat. We will have the opportunity to sit in the gathering of deen. Such a gathering that Rasulullah ﷺ mentions, Nazalat alayhim sakina, tranquility descends upon them. Ghashiyatumur rahma, mercy descends upon them. Be part of this majma, be part of this gathering from its beginning right till its very end. And very importantly, make a niyat as well. Even if that niyat, you don't want to express it immediately. But come there with a niyat, come there with an intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must accept myself, my health, my wealth, my family, my children, my generations for the service and for the khidmat of deen. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.